We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The tough stretch doesn't define us as a team. We know we're a good club. We just haven't been playing good. So for us to come out like we did yesterday and tonight and battle and put together some good ABs and good pitching on the mound, I think it's a step for us in the right direction to hopefully end this year strong and play spoiler.
That was last night's starter, Trevor Williams. All right, all noble words. I'm not trying to do some sort of gotcha thing with Trevor Williams here. You wouldn't expect anybody in his position. And by the way, it's the PM team. Paul Zeiss pinch hitting for Andrew Filippone, who's recovering from surgery. We're at Primanti Brothers in Moon Township on University Boulevard. Come see us, Primanti Brothers World Tour. Get a passport. Get it stamped at least four different locations on the days that we are there for the show. And you get yourself entered for a chance to win a trip to Florida. I'm not doing some gotcha stuff here, Paul. I promise. On Trevor. Oh, what a dumb comment. He's saying what any professional athlete would say in the circumstance. We got to try to finish this season strong. We got to try to put this horrible stretch behind us. We got to try to basically bow our backs a little bit here and screw some other teams over by beating them, right? I would hope if I were a Pirates fan, they don't win many games the rest of the year. You know why? The further up that ladder you can climb towards the number one pick in the draft, and you're not going to get there because the Detroit Tigers and the Baltimore Orioles are literally built to lose baseball games, as many of them as they can. The further up that ladder you climb towards number one pick, the better chance, because simply more guys are left on the board, that you will pick an impact player. I don't know if you'll get one. It's next year. But still.
Can I just sound off for 1 minute about something?
No,
here?
No.
Is there a more delusional organization from top to bottom than this group? Seriously, from the general manager to the players.
Technically, they're still in.
Listen, you're not a good team, okay?
Technically, they're still in.
You're not a good baseball team. You're not, all right? So this idea that somehow you're magically losing and you just don't know why, you're not winning because you're not a good team. So let's get – technically, we're still in it. All of this other stuff.
That was, injuries, by the way, one of the most preposterous comments I've heard all year.
I mean, you know, this whole thing, Ray Searage, you know, we don't know what we're looking at. You know, like you just read off the pitching staff, what their actual numbers are. They're like 14th in the league in ERA, 14th in OPS against, 14th in batting average against. They're 13th in runs given up, I think, 13th in home runs.
Oh, no,
given
they're
up.
14th in that, 13th in home 13th runs.
13th in homers,
right.
Yes. Right,
you don't know what you're looking
my
at,
my point,
Paul.
Is, we don't know what, yeah, we don't know the game in between the game. Listen, I don't need to be in your pitching meetings, okay? I don't need to be watching video to know that your guys walk too many guys, your guys give up way too many home runs, and your guys can't get out, okay? I don't need analytics to know that. So let's get that out of the. You're not a good baseball team.
I don't need to be in there in a conversation with a glove over my mouth.
You're not a good baseball team. But the delusion from this group is unbelievable. Every time they win a couple of games, you know, wow, this is a sign of. You know what? This is a sign that you're good at beating teams that are under 500. Because I think if you look at their record,
the Angels are going nowhere. Yeah, well, they're Mike Trout.
They're under
and the cast
500.
Of Brent.
You know, I mean, they've got two guys in their lineup that you want, and you know, I mean, that's what they are. My point is, okay, listen. Why can't this group just, like Clint Hurdle, I give him all the credit, you know, we just won two games in a row. Why can't it just be that? But to your point, yes, you want them to lose because you want them to get a draft higher and all the other stuff.
So, all right, I'm going to ask you that, though. You agreed with that in principle just now. Do you think there is any case to be made? Because there are lots of people out there who still are anti-tank. And yep. They say, no, you've got to try to win. It matters for the guys that are going to be here next year. Neil Huntington views this as a team that's young, inexperienced.
Right.
Is there any value in this team trying to win games? I really don't see it.
There
they
is.
They need to add as much talent as they possibly can to the organization.
There is, and here's why. Because you don't want to get a losing mentality in that clubhouse.
Have you seen one firsthand?
I think you know some of that 20 years of losing, you know, they were hopeless before the season started. Helpless.
What does that look like when you say I'm not trying to be confrontational.
I'm
actually,
just saying I don't know what.
Well, your son's been in a college locker room.
Yes.
He's been in a pro locker room. So I'll go major college.
Right.
And Pitt has, and we're, I want to talk about this later. Pitt has been a pretty mediocre program, wins and losses wise.
The fact that
what
Pitt
does it
has,
sound, what's it look like? What's it
manifest
like? The fact
that Pitt has not had a season of less than three losses since 1981.
Okay, but that's a mentality.
Is one of the greatest statistics. But you're absolutely right. That's my. But I don't know what it looks like other than the way it manifests itself. You know, because it take the Pitt's example, right? They've had different coaches, different athletic directors. They've had different, you know, teams. They've had this and that and everything. But whatever it is, they can't seem to get out of their own way. They just can't seem to do that. Now, who knows? We got a new athletic director and this and that, and she's trying to do things differently. Who knows? But what I'm saying is I think if you get into the mentality for the next 50 games, if you're whatever it is, 44 games or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and you're the Pirates where, well, winning and losing doesn't matter, I don't know that that's the message you want to send to a bunch of guys who are going to be the core of your team next year. I don't think that's the right message. I think you have to fight and try and win as many games as you can. But losing is not a bad thing if it's going to help you get better picks.
Okay. There's a lot of my other points here that are coming back to
roost. My point is the Dodgers and the Yankees have picked a lot lower than the Pirates and have done better. So maybe it's not about where they pick, but who they pick.
I normally would say that trying to create a winning culture is bull, but they're a pretty special case. They had 20 years of losing, 3 years of winning, well, technically a fourth winning season last year, and they'll be Neil Huntington will point that out to you that they did win 82 games and 161 played. Normally I would say that is bunk, but that history sort of makes me think for them that there's a little legitimacy to it. Not that I would be going heaven and earth trying to move mountains to win games. In fact, if you think Felipe Vasquez is going to be closing playoff games for you, save his arm this year. You don't need to throw him out there all the time at this point. But with them, I'm so cynical about draft picks. And if they're picking fourth versus picking 10th, to me, there's no appreciable difference. I haven't looked for, like, next year's draft-eligible players. There's no can't-miss guy that if you're in there at the fifth spot in the draft,
right,
he'll be there because there's four other better players. But if you're at ninth, he's gone. Like, I don't – and even if there was that guy, I would imagine if they took him,
right,
something would go off the rails about it.
And if they took him, based on the way they do things, we might see him by 2024.
Well, that's another thing. So there has been – with them going into this tailspin, I think one of the – it ends up being a popular discussion topic, and I understand why. Who deserves to lose their job from the management structure or perspective, and who is here that should be kept? And a lot of people say, fire them all. Like, you can clean house. If you had to pinpoint one person in that front office, and it doesn't have to be Huntington or Coonley. I'm talking scouting director, farm director. Who do you think's most responsible for this? Because that's the great chicken and the egg question. Joe Delacari runs their draft. Everyone says, oh, the GM runs the draft. No, the scouting director does. The GM has to put his name on it. But the scouting director runs it. And as soon as they all get picked, they come into Larry Broadway's world. And Larry Broadway is the guy that, in my mind, has the most culpability here. Because I don't think they are so dumb about the talent that they acquire that they're getting guys that everyone else has. This isn't like Danny Moskos getting picked when Wieters was still there, right? You know what I mean? This isn't Brad Lincoln getting chosen.
Danny Moskos.
Right. That got Dave Littlefield fired. That and the Morris trade, and it should have. They, I think, have a generally in line with the industry conception of who is good and who is not good. But once they get into the program, so to speak, I just feel like nothing good happens.
It's interesting. One thing as an aside, you know, I did a mailbag for the Post Gazette. The question was, who do I think is going to be the sacrificial lamb, and who do I think should be the sacrificial lamb? And the name they threw out was Joe Delacari. To me, that's not a sacrificial lamb. To me, is somebody you throw to the wolves and say, okay, we're going to fire this big name person.
Right.
So it looks like. People don't know who Joe Delacari is.
You have to go to Baseball Reference to
exactly.
know. I mean, people here know who Delacari and Broadway are probably because they have listened to this station and heard us mention them so frequently in the last 2 months that they, okay, I know this now.
But that's my point. My point is that's not going to satisfy the mob. Now, I think, honestly, you have to start with Neil Huntington. I know that he's not the guy that's in charge of every little aspect, but he is. The buck stops with him. They need a fresh set of eyes.
Well, everybody we just mentioned, Clint Hurdle, Broadway, yeah. Delacari, they're all subordinate to Neil Huntington, and then he's subordinate to Cooley.
My point is, I look at a guy like Neil Huntington, and I say, you know what? I think they need a fresh set of eyes on everything. I think they need somebody to really get in there that's new, got new ideas, new ways of doing things. And you know what? There probably will be collateral damage after that because a new guy coming in is going to want to change some of the people. And you know what
I'm
saying?
Do you think he's a good GM in a vacuum? Like if you just put Neil Huntington, I'm not saying in a cash-rich situation or a cash-poor situation. If you put him on a middle-of-the-road franchise, financially speaking, and said you're the GM for the next 6-7 years no matter what, do you think he'd produce winning results? Because I actually think he would. I don't think he is a dumb guy. I think he knows what you're supposed
very
to try
smart.
To do in baseball.
I think he's very smart. I think sometimes he's too smart for his own good, and he's not quite as smart as he thinks he is. I think he's an average general manager. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's terrible. I think he's just been sort of average. To me, I believe if you put him with –
if you gave him
– put him with the Yankees or the Red Sox or one of those teams.
The Dodgers
resources. I still think he would operate in some ways like he's still here.
So you don't think all of what he does here is by necessity? You think some of it's hardwired in there?
I think he's very conservative by nature in the way that he does things. I think he's one of those guys that he's far more concerned about the players he's giving away than the players he would get in a trade. You know, and the prospects that he's giving away. I think he's a very conservative player. And I don't mean on the political spectrum.
No, conservative,
I mean
in
his
terms
job.
Of he's loath to
job,
part with guys.
I think, but all, not just that. I think in every aspect, you know, the way they
bring guys up,
the way that they have to like hoard over every single prospect, the way that they have all these, you know, days of rest and all this other stuff. You know what I mean?
Here's why. Well, no, he thinks that the days of rest stuff is progressive, but in its application, a lot it becomes needlessly conservative.
Exactly.
In terms of player usage. The thing that gets me, and I would clean house. If I were in Bob Nutting's shoes, and I mean this, I would be so enraged by how bad things have gotten for a team they all thought could compete, by the way. This isn't 2010 where John Russell was monotoning his way through pressers and you knew that they weren't going to win, okay?
Yeah, John Russell.
I would be so furious if I were the owner. I would fire everybody from Frank Coonerly on down and just say, I need to clean the house completely and start from scratch. There can be no trace left of the guys who were here. Manager, the GM, the president, everybody that's subordinate to them. And the reason I'd fire Huntington is I think he's a smart guy, but he has actually gotten empirical proof, evidentiary proof in front of his face that what he's doing isn't working.
Yeah.
And he has continued to adhere to the idea and hold fast to the idea that it in fact is. And he's just a turn of the key away here. His goal every year is to build a team that wins 83 games on paper,
yeah.
And everybody has a great season at once, and then they end up winning 89 and 90 and maybe
right.
Win a division or get a wild card.
But the problem is the teams he compiles, usually it's everybody has to be perfect just to win 83 games. And then they need some help to get the 86.
Yeah, there's no luxury items.
You know
on
what I'm saying?
It's not like, oh, yeah, we've got this and we're not worried about it.
And it's like, you know, they have had some injuries. But here's the thing. Injuries, the tie-on injury is something that I look at and say, yes, that's absolutely an excuse or whatever, a reason, right?
Sure.
But I think beyond that, a number of the injuries actually in some ways help them. Because, for instance,
you said Reynolds. They never find out about Reynolds.
Chisinau
doesn't, you know, isn't made of paper mache.
If Eric Gonzalez doesn't get out of Dodge for a while, we really don't get a chance to get an extended look at Kevin Newman. You know, I mean, there's some things when you look at it. The guys that came in were Melky Cabrera has played a lot, and he's been one of their best hitters. I mean, my point is, I think that if you really add up all the injuries, you take the tie-on out of it, for the most part, I think – it's a little bit of an excuse. So, you know, this team, you want to tell me that they would be, what are they? I don't even know what they are, whatever they are, 15 or I think they're 19 games under. Mm-hmm. You want to tell me they'd be 11 games under if it weren't for the injuries? I might buy that. But let's
That's still not
go,
in the playoffs.
Right, exactly.
You're still not a playoff team at 11 games
let's
under,
not
nor
go
are you
crazy.
Close to an 83-win pace.
Like some of these people want to go crazy.
Coming up, well, I've got something that might make you go crazy. This could be grounds for a Paul Zeiss rant. up next. Ohio State has taken trademarking and protecting the brand, I think, to a new low. And there's one group of people that, if they're successful, of course, is not going to reap any of the benefit of this. You might not have a hard time figuring out who that group of people will be. We're going to tell you what we're talking about here and why Ohio State is leaving me just putting my face in my hands coming up next on the PM team. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. That porch tour on Friday is going to be gutting me again, Paul.
Yes. So you got to be, 5 a.m. or something?
Yeah. Yep.
That's fun.
It's a good thing that when I bought my house 5 years ago, before my wife and I were even engaged, let alone married, let alone parents, I bought the house thinking, all right, it's like not even 10 minutes from work. If I had to drive from where Dunlap and Colony live out in Hampton or Pine Richland all the way in and leave my house at, like, realistically 3:45 to get in with enough time to actually prep a show, I'd be done, man.
Yeah, and then you add to the fact that, like, Dunlap literally gets there at, like, 3 in the morning.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I mean,
one.
He does. I mean, like, when I leave at 2 in the morning, if I have to do, like, some extra work.
Have you seen him come in?
I've never stayed quite that long, but I guarantee you.
There have been ships passing in the night here.
I guarantee you that I'm probably coming down the driveway, and he's pulling in, you know, at 3 in the morning. But, he's.
Well, he's already on his 8th cup of coffee by 3 in the morning.
He's like, now, you know, people call me a night owl. I don't know that I'm even as much of a night owl that I could.
He posted a picture of his trunk once of just bulk boxes from a big box store of K-cups. And he said, no one in my family, I have kids, but they don't drink coffee, and my wife doesn't drink coffee. It was at least 600 cups of coffee worth, and I think the insinuation was it would last him like 2 months tops.
Yeah, but here's the thing: like, for instance, that's to get, like you said, it. I mean, he probably lives like 35, 40 minutes.
Oh,
the good news is he can come down 28 without ever having traffic there at 3 in the morning.
You know what would make me really mad is if I was flying down Route 8 like they have to. And a cop pulled me over thinking I was, like, a drunk driver coming home from the bar. And I would probably be so indignant. I would be like, listen, I'm going to work. Can you just let me go here?
Yeah, which could happen. I mean, that could happen. I mean, at 2:33 in the morning, I mean, as you know, I've driven at that time plenty of times. At 2:33 or 3 in the morning, there's a lot of
interesting
cops out,
yes.
Number one. And number two, when they pull you over, they're – you know,
they mean business.
I'm going to work. You're going to have to give them a little more than that.
Well, for you, it's they say, oh, Mr. Zeiss.
Yeah.
Good
Mr.
to see
Zeiss.
You. Yeah. Good to see you yet again. Then 15th time this month you've been speeding on this stretch of road.
Then they still give me a ticket. Yeah, exactly.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Storkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Locations North Huntington and the North Hills. We're, of course, at Primanti's Moon Township for the Primanti Brothers World Tour. You come out here, you get one of these passports, you get it stamped at least 4 Primanti Brothers locations. We're going to be at 6 more of these, so you still got chances. You got to get it stamped when we're there because we're the ones stamping it. You'll get entered to and registered to win a trip to Florida. All right. Paul, when I say Ohio State University, when you think of people like Jeff Hathorn, an Ohio State grad, when you think of them and them talking about Ohio State, what do the, like, Penn State fans always say, we are. Pitt fans say, hail to Pitt. What do Ohio State, what is their thing that they do there?
Is it that O-H?
No. Well, yeah, they dot the I.
Right.
Hang on, Sloopy. But when somebody says, like, say, okay, here's what I got. On Sunday night or Monday night football, when they're all doing their little school thing,
is
guys
it the university?
Yes, they
okay,
go,
yes,
the
right, yes.
Ohio State. It's like the U.
The
but it's
Ohio State, yes, exactly.
Ohio. Here's the story. This is like one of those old Sports Illustrated signs of the apocalypse things that they used to do. Ohio State seeks to trademark the word the, or the, in this case. They are
You mean capital T-H-E.
Capital the Ohio State University. They have tried to, they are seeking a trademark, ESPN story goes, on one of the most common words, the, see, I can't, it's trademarked,
yeah,
in the English language. Formerly known at the school, which is formerly known as the Ohio State University, is seeking a trademark on the word "the" for use on clothing and hats. According to the trademark, U.S. Trademark and Patent Office, the filing was made on Thursday, so last week. Here's what the university spokesman said about the trademark submission. Quote, like other institutions, Ohio State works to vigorously protect the university's brand and trademarks. These assets hold significant value, which benefits our students and faculty in the broader community by supporting our core academic mission of teaching and research. Do you know what my problem is? They've trademarked the shoe, Script Ohio, Woody Hayes, Urban Meyer's likenesses, whatever. And they'll probably win this because of all the guys. The reason that they'll win this is because so many players from Ohio State go to the NFL and say it so people know what it is, and it's right. Pretty common. You know who's not going to see a dime of it? The players.
Well, let me ask you a question. What exactly are they trademarking?
The word "the."
You buy a hat, uh-huh. And you go to a screenshot person and put "the," even if it's in black and gold,
so
which
I'm
has
not
nothing
sure.
to do with Ohio
yeah,
State.
Yeah, if you write "the Pennsylvania State University," they can pop you for that if they get this.
But they can if you just have the word "the." I mean, like
I don't see. I don't know. If I just get a shirt to troll them, it says "the," and but it's in the other team's color
right.
scheme. I don't know. Can they? I don't know if they can hit me with that. I don't know. My sister's a lawyer. I feel like she would know this, and I should text her right now.
I hope they would lose this because
I think
this
they're
is
gonna
absolutely
win it.
Silly.
But I think they're going to win it, Paul.
This would be absolutely silly.
They've trademarked Script Ohio.
I understand that, but. That's, I mean, the?
The.
So, for instance, Miami, you know, the Hurricanes. The U.
Take the U out of circulation, no longer in the, no, I think they, you know, it's the U. So if you say the phrase, the U, that's their phrase. I get that one more than I get the Ohio State University.
So what if you're North Allegheny? I mean, you're the U.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That's what everyone always talked about.
I just think this is so honestly.
It's absolutely the stupidest thing. Well, listen to me.
And it's super cynical because the spokesman's saying, hey, basically this is going to make money for our students and faculty. It wouldn't be famous unless the guys that you put on scholarship, yes, but you don't pay it, you know, anything more than the stipend to, weren't making the league and saying it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, but that's just the way things go nowadays. Anyway, every time something like this goes on, the first thing people say is, the athletes aren't going to get anything out of it, so why are we doing it?
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I just find it funny that there's a sly little ignorance as to who the people are who are actually making that phrase so popular.
My question is, who is it that – is it the university?
Who filed this? The Ohio State University itself filed the trademark.
Okay, here's the thing. If the Ohio State, and this is what always
they should have
crazy,
to be referred to if, as such on every broadcast.
If this was a corporation doing this,
yeah.
They would be getting destroyed for
pillory.
Being greedy.
Correct.
Right? For being greedy. But it's funny, like these colleges do this kind of stuff. Maybe, I remember when the Kansas Jayhawks basically sued Gannett. Because the logo is the same or whatever.
Which is weird because all those popular logos, they cycle through. Green Bay Packers, Georgia Bulldogs, Gateway.
But my point is, how greedy can you be? It's absolutely
Do you really
ridiculous.
Want an answer to that?
Yeah.
The answer is it's like pretty limitless in this
I'm as libertarian as you can be. I go make your money, be capitalist. But at some point, there is a limit where you just say, this is just silly. This is just... unadulterated greed.
Oh, I don't think the people that are doing this kind of thing would agree with that, Paul. I would say that they're protecting their brand. So what is there in the Paul Zeiss brand? You should trademark the grilled cheese.
No, because a lot of people eat grilled cheeses.
The Paul Zeiss grilled cheese.
That's the way it goes. I mean, the bottom line is when you take a look at things like that, these places are so greedy. If you're and the thing is, we allow them to get away with it. That's the worst part.
Well, I think they're gonna actually get this. I think they're gonna win it because enough guys actually say it that I think it's gonna be. They're gonna push it through and say, yeah, this is pretty distinct. There's a Josh Bell signing tomorrow, 6:30 to 7:30 at the new TSE showroom right off the Parkway West, off of Campbell's Run Road. You can just easily see it if you're on Campbell's Run. Complete details on this and pre-sale items available at TSE Shop. .com. Tickets are also available at the door while supplies last. So a lot of people, Pirates have played two games in Anaheim. And a lot of people stayed up very late the last two nights, not to watch the Pirates. They're Pirates fans, but they didn't really stay up to watch the Pirates. They stayed up to watch Mike Trout,
exactly.
Who's the best baseball player on the planet. We've got a little. I got a little thought I want to run by Paul, a big sports fan, a big Florida State fan, of course, that has something to do with Mike Trout and staying up to watch somebody that doesn't even play for your favorite team. We're going to do that coming up next, live from Permane Brothers in Moon Township on the PM team. It's the PM team. Paul Zeiss. So the ZM team.
Well, it could be the PM. My team. My name's Paul.
Yeah, that is true. I didn't really think of that.
Yes, it still could be the PM team, although I guess P is reserved for pony.
Yeah, I mean, it's a last name.
Or a different word, considering what he's doing this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would be, yes. Because he had surgery on a P word, yes. No, if it was first names were the letters, it would be the PC team. I feel like you are not the PC man here.
Yes.
So here's what has nothing to do with what I led in with here, which is why it's such a pro radio segment that I'm engineering so far.
Okay.
I would argue that a lot of Pirates fans who really are genuine, honest-to-God Pirates fans have watched the last two games not because they wanted to see if the Pirates would win a couple of games or see if Josh Bell would get red hot like he suddenly did. They watched because the best ball player on the planet happens to play in what amounts to an attention black hole, Anaheim, where no one cares about the Angels because they're not the Dodgers. They're on the West Coast, which is working against them. But Mike Trout is, I think, in almost everyone's mind, the best baseball player going right now and has been for several years. So he's a worth the price of admission or worth staying up late for. People who work, you know, jobs with early wake-up calls saying, nah, I'm going to watch a couple Mike Trout ABs.
Okay.
Paul Zeiss, big sportsman. Who was the last guy you would make that kind of sacrifice for? That you
stay
can remember.
Up late
you
at say, night.
You're saying, I hardly ever get to watch him. I live in Pittsburgh. It's a regional sport here, so I don't get to see Mike Trout but three times a year. Who is it?
Wow. I'd have to think about that. It probably
I put you on
would
the spot.
Be. Yeah, you did. I would have to think it probably would be one of these NBA players, a West Coast NBA guy, or, you know what I mean? I have to think about it. You know, because the problem with the NBA is I guess you do see all the stars because they put them all
on
TV.
Well, they put the Warriors on TV a lot.
Well, they put all the stars. Like, you know, you see James Harden.
You're going to see Kawhi Leonard in L.A. because he's with the Clippers. He's going to get put on showcase games because that's the one league, by the way, that understands how to market individual stars.
I'll put it this way. I don't know if I stayed up late to watch this guy, but anytime he was pitching, if I could see him, I watched. And that would be when he was really, really good, Kershaw.
Really?
Oh, I loved watching that guy. He's still pretty good, but I mean, when he was, you know, when he was clearly above and beyond everybody else, and he was nasty. I love watching guys like that.
I remember when Pedro Martinez, in the height of the steroid home run era, was putting up like 190 ERAs for seasons. I still to this day have a hard time watching a full baseball game that involves two teams that aren't the Pirates or the Tribe, basically, for me. I would sit there and try to watch all those games because I understood even at like age 14 what he was doing was just so unbelievably difficult. Were you a guy that got sucked into the Bonds at-bats during any of his crazy video game clear in the cream years?
I did. I you know, even the McGuire and Sosa at-bats too, even though, I mean, look. Here's what we all could just look at Mark McGuire.
Andro was legal.
See that he had, you know, what are these called?
Forearms
that look like Popeye, and know something was off. But it was pretty impressive and fun to watch. I'll tell you a player that I consider must see TV. Although there's a deeper story to it that involves the cab and things of the such. But Javier Baez from I actually kind of pull for the Cubs and watch the Cubs because I love watching Javier Baez play.
Really?
Yes.
Now this would be like a Zeiss tale though.
Right.
We would have and marginally okay for radio probably at best. And I'm being
charitable. It's just lots of fun, you know. I mean, and so, So there's a guy that I consider kind of must see. But really, to be honest, to answer your question the other way, if Kershaw was pitching and it was because obviously I don't watch a lot of Dodgers games, you know what I mean? But when he was at the height of what he was doing, and when he's like clearly above and beyond everybody, the best pitcher, boy, was he fun to watch. And I always, always tuned in, you know. I mean, he made guys that were the best hitters in baseball look stupid.
I feel like the Pirates have had weirdly good luck against him too.
They've
touched him up a couple of times.
I remember the one year that they were struggling, I think, and everyone's like, "Oh, the Dodgers are coming. It's gonna and they got to see wait till Kershaw comes in," and they hit him for like 9 runs or something.
Yeah, they put a bad beating on him in one game.
Yes.
Weirdly enough with him, I watch Trout because I just want to see what Trout does. I think he's going to go down in history if he keeps this up for like 7 to 10 more years, and he's still in his like not even close to 30. He's going to go down as one of probably the handful of best players of all time because he's doing it in the modern era where theoretically your talent pool is as good as it's going to be, whatever. But I never got into watching Kershaw for some reason. I don't know why.
It's funny. I've always enjoyed watching power pitchers.
I'm surprised you can watch baseball like for a baseball player though. I think that's the sport's problem with some people.
Right, but I've always enjoyed watching power pitchers when they're on their game more than hitters when they're on their game. To me, it's like it's fun when you watch Felipe Vázquez go out there and just make these guys look so silly. They can't hit what he's – I'll tell you another guy.
Randy Johnson was a guy for me in that regard because he would have guys missing the slider by about 6 feet. They'd be set up for fastball, and he would just swing, and the ball would be practically out of his hand.
But I'll give you another guy from a different sport that really I always watch. What's the kid's name from the Oilers, Edmonton Oilers?
Connor McDavid.
I watch them. When they're on, I watch them no matter what. And we might only see them, 5-6 times a year here?
I mean, I had that ticket on Alex and I on our half-season ticket plan. We had that game, I want to say, one year. And I told her, I don't think I want to sell this one. Like, I don't
right.
No, I don't want to make a little profit here because that guy doesn't – he is more visually spectacular to watch than Sidney Crosby.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, Crosby has been doing it for so long, it's freakishly impressive. And he does little subtle things that on replay you just gasp.
Right.
But when you actually watch McDavid, if you're sitting pretty close to the ice, it is a wild thing to see someone move that fast.
And that's the thing. You look at what Crosby does. He's so good. He makes so many things look so easy. But McDavid is just so much fun to watch him. When he's really skating and he's going around and he's just putting so much pressure on defenses, it is so much fun to watch that guy play.
He's the most – and he's not big, but in terms of his speed, he's physically dominant because of it. It's weird to call a fast, skinnier guy physically dominant, but that's what he is. I mean, guys, you're right. Pressure is to the max every second that he's out there. Paul Zeiss is in for Andrew Filippone. And here's the question coming up next. It's a buy or sell question for Paul Zeiss, a man never short on opinions. Paul Zeiss, wearing a Mississippi State shirt, by the way.
You like that?
I do like that. I have a buy or sell question for Paul Zeiss, and I genuinely don't know which way he's going to go. Sometimes when I float it out there, and I know Paul's going to answer, I have a decent idea of where he comes down. But on this one, I really don't. I'm going to tell you what that question is next. First, though, got fan weather for you. It's brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. You can join Sun Chevy for their all-star open house all month long and open the door to a new Chevy. 82 and sunny right now, 64 your low, 80 with a possible shower or thunderstorm in your forecast tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.